my beard.
It's quite impressive. It's sending you a message. I'm gonna make your hairy dreams come true.
My beard.
You know you want it. Now, baby, it's time to get on it. Girl, don't be afraid, 'cause I am bringing my beard to you.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and joining me as always, a groundhog to my never-ending fucking repeat, it's
JD.
What's been fucking happening, brother?
Nothing but repeats, bro.
Nothing but fucking repeats, I tell you what.
Working hard, underpaid as usual.
Aye, fuck yeah. So, if the sounding is a little bit different this week, it's because we got a bit of a fucking upgrade during the week.
We got an early Christmas present.
I did get an early Christmas present. We got ourselves some new equipment, some new mics, a new mixing board, or a mixing board instead of no mixing board.
those that follow us on Twitter and Facebook would know.
Yeah.
They got a fresh preview the other day.
Hence the repeats. Trying to get this shit sorted when you're half cut's a bit fucking difficult.
Isn't it what?
So, before we get into the fucking booze review and all the boozy news, I thought I'd fucking quickly touch up on last week's story with the World Beard and Mustache Championships.
That clusterfuck.
Oh, clusterfuck.
So, that was actually held, the European one was held?
No, this was the American one.
Oh, America!
So, ended up having about 300 competitors.
Yeah, right.
Competing for 18 titles. Now, I didn't realize this last week. You know how I was saying, you know, that whole copyright fucking trademark registration thing could cause a bit of a problem?
Yeah.
I didn't realize Phil Olsen had actually used his fucking trademark of the name to force Facebook to pull down the original Facebook page.
Really?
So, if you hop on Facebook now and you search, you know, the World Beard Mustache Championships, it's the American Phil Olsen fucking helmed page, not the original European one.
So, what are the European one called now on Facebook?
I don't know. Maybe the true WBMA or whatever the fuck.
The OG?
I don't know. I know.
WBMA OG?
OG. Fuck, that'd be sick. I'd like that. So, the event, and how's this, right? It actually ended up running late. The last 2 hours was a bit of a fucking clusterfuck from what I read. They sort of quickly rushed the last two categories because they had two categories to go and the final count for the, you know, the grand beard, and they just kept pushing along like, come on, get the fuck out.
Well, is that where it was held? They were doing that or the
event organizers, they just fucked around and fucking let it run long. The grand master or the grand beard or whatever the fuck you want to call it ended up being a fellow by the name of Madison Rowley. Who also won the Garibaldi beard. Now, look at that. Isn't that a luscious fucking beard?
That's beautiful.
It is. He had a couple of memes back in the day before it got that ridiculously fucking big.
Well, he wasn't the one that did, like, the Predator beard and all that sort of shit, is he?
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh.
That's a fellow by the name of Easy too. Yeah, I'll just find him. Not him.
So Dan's just scrolling through right now, and God damn it, there's some fucking giant beards.
Oh, look at that one! Yeah, I know, there is some fucking beautiful beards. Like, don't get me wrong, there was some great beards. That's the fucker there. Fellow by the name of Craig Mickle something.
Really? Is that the guy?
Yeah, that's the fella. I know, Luke Shuler. Yeah, he's a fella who does, like, the Spider-Man beard and the fucking Predator beard and all that sort of shit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, fuck cool. Yeah.
Looks like he's getting his, what's his face from Pirates of the Caribbean? The tentacle dude?
Yeah, he's Davy Jones on
it. Yeah, Davy Jones, that's the one.
At least this year he is anyway. So, look, whether his fucking title is in dispute or not, congratulations to fucking Madison Rowley, because Jesus Christ, that's a luscious fucking beard. Probably fucking weighs more than his head.
It's bigger than his head.
It's fucking huge,
very
man.
Very round as well.
It is. It's the mustache. I can't grow a mustache, eh?
Really?
Well, I can grow one. I can grow a mean mustache, but I can't handle it. I end up eating it and shit.
Yeah, you see how long mine is right now?
Yeah.
I was eating fucking dinner tonight. Every bite, fucking chomp hair.
Yeah, so like the ends of my mustache, fucking the length of my beard, but all the shit around my actual lips, I got to trim every fucking week or two. I just cannot fucking do it.
You know what? I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to go get some beard wax.
Yeah, well, that's coming next year.
I'm going to curl that shit.
Yeah, well, next year, start going forward, I think I'm going to start doing a bit of a beard product fucking segment. Just to fucking give a bit of spotlight onto some of the amazing fucking products
and there's
that are
a
out
shit ton out there,
isn't
hey?
There fucking what?
Like, you get the odd one that pops up on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot, but then when you actually do the research, we've got at least like 3, 4, 5 in fucking Australia alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let alone
fucking everywhere.
America, which is what, six? No, not fucking 6 billion. How many people in America?
I don't know.
There's
don't
a shit ton of people in America. Yeah. Shit ton more.
More
than
there fucking should be.
Yeah. So we're going to jump on that big wagon, hopefully. So.
Yeah. And just a special shout out goes out to Blanton's this week. Mainly because this year was their 30th fucking year.
Happy 30th to Blanton's.
Yes, the company that kicked off the whole single barrel bourbon craze.
Yeah, and they didn't they pick the timing of it?
Didn't they what?
There was a lower liquor sale due to the high import of vodka and high-end wines at the time. So they fucking... it was a gamble. What they were doing was selling... They sold 50 bottled crates at $25 per bottle. Triple the industry average at the time.
Fucking hell.
Fucking A right.
Yeah,
so good on you.
Yeah, no, so happy birthday, Blanton's. Good on you.
Oh, that, what was the date? The 30th of August.
Yeah, 30th of August. It was the first time we saw a single barrel fucking bourbon. So cheers.
Cheers.
See how mics are good enough, you can pick that up now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I suppose it's time for a
booze review. A booze review.
Okay, so this week I've been eyeing this off for a while, and it happened to be on special this week. I got myself a bottle of Square One vodka.
See, I've eyed this off a few times, and I've been a little bit hesitant to buy it, and I've always grabbed something else. But
yeah, well, like I said, it was on special, so it was between this and Wobora.
What the fuck's Wobora?
Oh, it's another Polish vodka. I've become a serious fan of me Polish vodkas. Hey.
I think you've got a fair few collection in there.
I think it's just the rye vodkas in general. I like them a lot. But anyway, we're not talking about that this week. We're talking about Square One. So this was created by Alison Evernow and her sister Debbie Jones in 2006. So it's a female-owned company.
Cool.
So this artisanal vodka is made from organic American rye, which is grown in North Dakota, and uses organic fermentation and distillation techniques. It's actually classed as certified as an organic fucking spirit. So, the distillery itself was built over Snake River in Northern California, and it actually draws 25% of its power requirements from renewable energy. In this case, that's wind turbines, bro.
Nice. And good on use.
Yeah, and it also uses the waste from its rye to feed cattle. They sell on sell or pass on their fucking waste products from the mash.
See, that's what we need more of.
Well, see, to me, I see it in two lights, right?
Yeah.
A, good on them for using, you know, making an organic fucking spirit. On the other hand, if you're a hipster, this is the spirit you want to be drinking. Well, it is. It is a hipster fucking vodka from start to finish. So, you know, the process itself is inspired by the farmer markets ex-bartender Alison fucking Evernow used to visit on the weekends. You know, she thought, well, why not bring that to the fucking liquor world? So, Square One, it actually gets its name from... you know, going back to square one with the process and starting with the most pure ingredients. Now, this I found rather interesting because this is the first time I've had one of these spirits. One distillation, one filtration.
Nice.
That's it. It's one process from start to finish. It uses a four-column distillation pass, which they reckon, you know, because everything's so fucking pure, it doesn't need to be redone over and over and over again. They reckon it also keeps, you know, its flavour sort of intact.
Yep.
And it's filtered once through, you know, micron filter paper. So they don't use charcoal or chill filtering or anything like that. They just basically run it through a coffee filter. Because, you know, that's biodegradable, I suppose. So, you know, the bottle itself is a perfect example of this. So look at this fucking bottle here, yeah?
It's a good looking bottle.
It is a good looking bottle. I mean, it is a nice square looking fucking lovely looking little bottle. Right.
They played marketing really, really well on this one.
Well, they did, you know what I mean?
With the shape of the bottle.
Well, see, the reason the bottle is that shape in particular is because they wanted to be able to repurpose the bottle. So the label on it is fucking 100% recycled paper.
Yep.
That's easy to peel off. So the thinking is that when you're done with it, if you don't want to, throw it in the recycling bin, you can use it as a vase for like a solitary fowl because it's got one narrow ass neck on it. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't use frosting because there's a fair amount of chemicals that go into the process of frosting glass. So yep. Like you look at your Belvedere or your Grey Goose, there's some chemical shit there.
Just adds to the flavour.
It's a pretty looking bottle because you can use it, once again, once it's done. And it is a cork bottle, but it uses that synthetic fucking cork.
Yep.
So, everything about it is designed to be fucking renewable, reusable. And like I said, if you're a hipster or a greenie, mate, this is the fucking vodka you want to be fucking drinking. So I've managed to avoid it all weekend because I've wanted my fucking initial thoughts to be fresh on the matter.
Oh.
So now, as we just said, I am a fan of me rye vodkas. I do find they have their own sort of flavour and fucking character about them.
Well, they do, because it stands out a lot more than what the wheat and the corn vodkas do.
Yeah, well, they do. Like corn mash vodka has its own flavour.
Yeah, I find rye has more of an empowering flavour than the rest of them.
It does.
It's more of a, not necessarily a punch in the face, but a good punch in the face.
And it's very smooth. That's what I like about it most. It has the flavour to it. It has that sort of fucking actual character and body without having sort of, some horrible fucking burn.
Yeah.
Now, or I've got to...
rancid aftertaste.
Yeah. Now, I've got to call them out because they reckon, it doesn't have the ethanol fucking odour that most vodkas do, but I call bullshit on that.
See, it's really hard for them to get rid of that ethanol smell.
Well, it is. I mean, it is probably a byproduct of having just that one distillation pass.
But it's not as nowhere near as bad as Smirnoff, which is how many times fucking distilled?
Well, it's up there with the other sort of premium vodkas that do have that sort of ethanol fucking flavour about it. But
it reminds me of Kettle One
like a Kettle One or a fucking Grey Goose on the fucking nose. Like it's got that hint that you can smell right at the back of your nose.
Mm.
But let's
doesn't burn your nose.
Let's get around this and let's swish this around.
Cheers.
Cheers. See, that's beautiful.
That's nice.
Like I said, it has that flavour, and you don't get no sort of real fucking burn until right at the end.
I reckon about mid, but it fucking lasts for ages, doesn't it?
It does linger. It does linger, but I mean, it's more of a aniseed sort of burn without the taste of it, if you get what I mean.
Yep.
Look, man, I enjoy it. I've got to say, I'm quite happy with it. Makes you do one of them ones.
You sit there and swish it around in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely tell it's a rye vodka. Because like I said, it's got that sort of bold fucking slappy in the cheeks as it goes down. With that nice delayed action very sort warm of burn. Though. Well, it is very warm, but then again, the vodka is also warmer than what I normally fucking serve it too. Because we've let it sort of sit on the table.
Burns all the way down. You can feel it in chest.
Well, see, I didn't really get it until... It hit sort of, I don't know, the bottom of the esophagus before it drops, I suppose you could say. And then I got it. And that's what I mean about the rye vodkas. They tend to have a bit of a delayed fucking reaction.
Mm.
And then they sort of sit there and smoulder. They don't really burn. They just sort of sit there and smoulder quietly at the fucking back of the tonsils.
Mm.
So, fuck, man, I've got to say I quite fucking enjoyed it, hey? So,
so did I. I like it.
Yeah, and I mean, it mixes up well. Like, I've gone off the cola with me vodkas, so yep. I'm mixing it with all sorts of really... fancy and fucked up little fucking fucking mineral waters. But what did you give it based off the spirit?
I'm gonna give this one an I don't know, it's halfway between a B plus and an A minus.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you
maybe
doing?
An A minus.
If you don't give
I'm
it
I'm getting
a...
sterner on my fucking
I've noticed
ratings.
You've become a fucking sourpuss. You're like,
not necessarily a sourpuss, but I need to make that range work because I found that a lot of our vodkas, especially, range up to about a B plus to an
A plus to an A minus.
no, to an A plus, and no matter what they are, So I think I'm gonna have to broaden my rating range and work a little bit better, I guess you could say. Because there's definitely vodkas out there that we've done like an A- and an A- at, but one's better than the other, obviously.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the problem. I'm thinking
it's hard to think back from what we've done and how they taste and whatnot, unless they're sitting right in front of us.
That's why I'm thinking about instituting a Top Gear style fucking board, so we can fucking look at the board and see every single rating we've ever given, to try and put it into a bit of perspective.
That could be a good idea.
Because we're up to about fucking 60 or 70 fucking different spirits we've tried to date.
And then not all of them are on their website.
Yeah, it's getting hard to fucking put it all into perspective, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, man, I give them credit for fucking being all organic and shit, but then again, I also take credit away for being a hipster fucking drink. I don't know, man, it seems like they're trying just a bit too hard to be just a bit too fucking hip.
Well, they might not be trying too hard, that just might be the way they are.
And I mean, that is the way they are, so, you know, good on you, fucking congratulations. And, you know, the fact that women run this fucking company, you don't see that in the fucking booze culture, at all. This is normally fucking a sort of world that's run by crusty old men in their fucking 60s.
It's definitely a male predominant kind of association, but it's good to see women getting involved.
And I mean, as to the spirit itself, it's a fucking decent spirit.
Mm.
It's by no stretch probably the best spirit I've tried, especially for the price range, which is around $30 American.
Yep.
But that's a premium sort of price. And it's about $65 to $70 here. And the availability of it is pretty fucking limited. I haven't seen this in Dan Murphy's or any of your bigger chains. The Imperial's probably the only place I've actually seen it.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Not very, very widely spread.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got that whole fucking thing of, it's a rare thing, but does that equate to, you know, a rather fine spirit? I mean, as far as the rye vodkas go...
Yeah, there's a fine line between the quality spirit and the can't afford to mass market.
Yeah, so, look, it is...
I'm going to stop you there. It's a bit like the Black Widow.
No,
I've only ever seen it at League of Legends.
Yeah.
And that was once when I bought it.
But I mean, in saying that, it is 80 proof.
Yeah.
So it is 40%, and it's a 750ml bottle, not 700.
Ooh.
So you are. So it is just a little bit bigger. You get that extra fucking, you know, two drinks out of it. Two standard fucking drinks. So, look, man, to stop this meandering around, I'm going to give it a fucking decently solid A.
Nice.
Because, you know, there is things I don't like about it, but on the whole, it's a fucking good spirit. It, you know, may not be worth its fucking price tag, especially, but then in saying that, everything that goes into making it, I can forgive them.
Mm.
You know, so they've found their market, they're hammering it hard. So, why not? You know, I'll give it a solid A.
Nice.
Have you made your fucking decision yet as to what you're giving it?
Didn't I give it an A-?
No, you were tossing between the A- and the B+.
Oh. I thought I gave it an A-. I'm giving it an A-, officially.
All right, well, there you go.
If I didn't already.
Bit of division in the fucking ranks.
I think we've gotten a little bit too drunk too quick.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. So, there's our booze reviews for this week. We're going to move on to a bit of booze news right now. Now, a couple of weeks ago, it could have been a couple of months ago, you were talking about the fact that Diageo is really going to start hammering the Scotch market.
Because
the Scotch market over the last couple of years has been going, you know, on the fucking up and up and up and up and up.
And so, up and up.
Yeah, up and up. So news has come out this week that they're going to scale it back just a little bit. They're delaying plans on their £10 billion fucking plan to really fucking, you know, push the fucking Scotch. So the main reason they cite this is an economic fucking downturn globally. So they've cited such things as...
They have lost a 1 point... No, I'm just... trying to think back, I think it's about 1.8 billion from the previous year. Don't quote me on that, but that's just a figure that I think, yeah.
Well, Scotch has gone down 1%. So 1% to Diageo this year is worth £10.25 billion.
Well, there you go.
So, you know, that's obviously scared him.
Maybe not quite 1.8 billion. Maybe it was 1.8 million.
It could have been 1.8 million. That sounds about
a little bit better.
So, you know, they've cited reasons such as the crackdown on extravagant spending by the Chinese government, recession in Brazil, and, you know, currency devaluations in...
The Chinese like to fucking drink, everywhere. Hey.
Well, they do, but then you've got that whole fucking communist thing, so they're trying to really crack down on the whole fucking, don't spend all your fucking money, douchebag.
Why not?
That's a direct translation from the fucking Chinese finance minister.
Really?
Yeah.
He added douchebag right at the end.
Douchebag right at the end. You had to fucking...
How do you pronounce that in Chinese?
Wang Tong. Accidental racism.
Oh, fucking hell.
So, look, I mean, considering this plan's been in action for a while and considering Scotch has to be fucking matured for a minimum of 4 years before you can call it a Scotch and, you know, they're buying a malt house and they're buying several fucking distilleries, the fact that they're going to wait a little bit longer...
So how long do they push it back for?
Well, they haven't said. They haven't really commented other than saying...
They've just delayed it.
You look with it. Yeah. What's the word? They've delayed and fucking talk shit, basically.
Not like, the word I was looking for, but okay.
But it fucking works, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's deciding not to fucking go full steam ahead. But the fact that they've put this into plan, what, in about 2012.
Yeah.
So they're still 2 years out from their initial fucking releasing of shit. If they're going to do...
Delayed it indefinitely. Own. That's the fucking word.
Yeah, indefinitely.
Wow.
Yeah. Without any comments. So, you know, that's a bit fucking... bit shitty. But I mean, like, they reckon it's just not the demand there anymore. So...
Which is fair enough.
But on the other hand, they're...
They are one of the biggest fucking alcohol conglomerates.
The biggest.
Really?
Between them and Suntory, they own like 90 fucking something percent of the market.
Speaking of Suntory...
Yeah.
What do you Beam got? Suntory are fucking creating a... How's this, right? A scotch-infused bourbon.
This fucking shits me.
Now, how do you create a scotch-infused bourbon without calling it whiskey?
Well, okay, so without getting fucking bogged down...
Political?
..in semantics. Next year, June 2015, Jim Beam is going to be releasing a fucking specialised infused scotch whiskey fucking bourbon called Jim Beam Kentucky Dram. Which is which they're describing as a premium bourbon infused with Highland Scotch whiskey, which is going to be bottled
of their own their backlog.
Well, they
because it's they own a lot of scotches and
yeah. Well, Beam Company itself, yeah, does own a lot of scotch and
one from their own portfolio. Sorry, not backlog.
Yeah, well, they're not saying where in particular this scotch is coming from, but they do own a couple of Highland scotches. So fucking. You know, it's basically jumping on the train where they've just, you know, basically joined. Like, you get a lot of them now. So, you got, like, Grey Goose VX, which is cognac and vodka, and you've got your Vodkila, which is vodka and tequila, and you've got your Sar Gin and the One Whiskey. You know, all these little fucking mixes and shit. So, Mariska Van Bickering? Yeah? We'll call it that. Who's the marketing manager for Maximum Travel Retail, told the Spirit Business just this week past that Jim Beam Kentucky Dram is a premium bourbon based on the legends which inspired Jacob Beam. This is the first of a new range, so each year we look forward to introducing something related to the legends that Jim Beam was created with. Now, this is how I see it beyond all the fucking bullshit spin. Yeah? Yep. Bourbon is basically a whiskey. Yeah? Yep. Scotch is scotch. You know what I mean? They clearly defined those lines fucking all those years ago. You know, Scotland is the only country that's allowed to produce scotch.
Yep.
So by infusing scotch with bourbon, you no longer have a bourbon, you no longer have a scotch, you have a fucking whiskey.
Exactly.
You have a blended whiskey. You know what I mean? Like, Jim Beam's always fucking touted itself as being a straight bourbon, which means it's not mixed with any flavouring or anything else. It's a straight fucking bourbon.
Until they brought out Jim Beam Honey. That tasted like asshole.
Well, even that, it's a liqueur.
Yeah.
Technically, if you want to get all fucking technical about shit. But you know what I mean? Like, so for them to do this is just fucked. I don't know why they would want to do this. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like a stupid fucking idea for me. Like, if you got two things from the same family, this is inbreeding at its fucking heart. But it is. You know what I mean? Cousin Joe and Cousin Moore to get together.
Considering they're rolling it out for $44 US for 1 liter.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a premium. So, you know, we've got that fact.
How does that work?
Because we've got a tax to deal with. Yeah, so we'll probably get some 35% watered down fucking fuck knuckle thing that'll cost $60 and it'll taste like scotch because they've said that you can definitely taste the scotch in it. So why the fuck don't you just come out and say, fuck it, one of the distilleries we own, we're going to rename and we're going to make Jim Beam fucking scotch.
Why the fuck? Don't get your fucking neck at me.
But why the fuck, right, call it a fucking scotch-infused bourbon if all you're going to taste is fucking scotch? Just politics, fucking scotch? Knuck, just fucking sack up and call a motherfucking Jim Beam scotch. Fuck.
I don't want to do that though.
Motherfucking yuppies, bro.
They're a straight bourbon.
I'll give them a fucking straight bourbon.
Apparently, Maxim's also introducing a small batch Jim Beam next year.
No, oh, fucking course they are. Because there's not enough.
I like
fucking
my small batch Jim Beams. That book of nose, oh my God.
Yeah, well, that's a car strength. That's an entirely different fucking beast.
But I loved it, nonetheless.
So, to move on to something that's slightly happy fucking news.
Slightly?
Slightly happy news. After fucking 2 years, 2 years of legal battles, Purity and Absolute Vodka have come to a settlement in their fucking court case.
So, what was the original issue?
Okay, so Absolute, which is owned by fucking Pernod Ricard,
yeah,
launched a campaign back in 2012, you know, Absolute Purity.
Yeah.
Did you know? It's all pure fucking vodka. And
oh, okay. Yeah,
blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And because they're called Purity Vodka, they claim copyright infringement. You know what I mean? You can't claim this fucking Purity Vodka shit because we're called Purity Vodka.
Mm.
So Purity Vodka is an organic vodka produced at some castle in southern Sweden, said that Absolute Purity, also from fucking Sweden, gives the impression that there is a material connection between the Absolute company and Purity Vodka. So Absolute basically turned around and said, fuck you. What legs have you got to stand on in Sweden and the US? And they also claimed, also said fuck you to Purity's claims that it was the world's most awarded ultra-premium vodka. Something okay. that they've sort of fucking prided themselves
considering
on.
I've never heard of Purity Vodka.
Well, that's exactly kind of the point. But apparently now it's all over. It's all done with. They've made up. They've kissed. They've been friends. And they've now
And now they're having babies.
And now they're having babies.
And they're going to be called Purity, Absolute Pure
Absolute
Vodka.
Absolute Purity. Oh. So, you know, they've now fucking settled their court cases in both the US and Sweden with Purity Vodka still able to use its trademark brand name and both parties freely available to use the word Purity in their marketing campaigns.
So basically Purity Vodka lost.
Well, I don't think they lost. I think they both just sort of went, this is fucking stupid. Vodka.
Another hint of accidental racism.
Fuck it. Actually,
oh,
you know
for
what?
For fuck's sake.
While we're on the note of vodka, it's time for a motherfucking booze shootout.
Fucking booze shootout.
So this week we decided to have a bit of a fucking booze shit out because we haven't had one in a while and
it's been a good fucking while,
hey. It has actually, yeah.
Like what, 3 months? 4 months even, maybe?
Yeah, we're not even counting the month that we just decided to do our own fucking thing. It's been a while.
We sent out two solos.
So
oh, what a
the Drunk Abysman are proud to present to you the ultra cheap bottom shelf vodka booze shootout. So, this week we've got three rather cheap fucking vodkas all around the $30 Australian mark, which means they're probably about fucking $6 fucking everywhere else.
Yeah, probably. It's the tax.
And isn't it a fucking multicultural event this week?
Isn't that?
We've got Artica Vodka, which is an Australian vodka by the Edgemill Group.
Mm.
Or it could be Blue Steel. I don't fucking know.
No, it's Edgemill.
Yeah,
Edgemill's Victorian, Blue Steel's New South Wales.
Which originally got an A- from both of us. This is the thing that surprised me. We got a completely fucking agreement on all the ratings in this, which is very rare. Next up in the fucking green corner, we've got Finlandia Vodka, which got a B+ from both of us. And finally, we got Tovarishch vodka, that Russian fucking rye vodka that was such a big fan. And bit of trivia for all you fans out there, the very first booze review we ever did on fucking air live to tape.
Well, there you go.
Now, it originally got a B plus, but I think I was smoking crack that night because it really deserves a fucking A minus. But there you go.
No changes backsies now.
No changes backsies now. So the events we've got, or the categories we've got, is the bottle, which is the presentation of the basic thing. And then we've got the ABV, which is the, you know, the true nuts and bolts. How fucked up is it going to get you, and how fucking quick is it going to get you fucking there? Then we've got the nose, we've got the mouthfeel, we've got the back end, and the lingering effects. All of which will give us a total score out of 30. And our eventual winner will be the officially crowned Drunken Beersman Lower Range Vodka Champion.
Number one.
At least till we get to the semis.
I'm sure there's going to be fucking more.
Yeah, oh, there will be. Where do you want to start, dude?
Where do you want to start? Well, let's go in alphabetical order. Fuck it.
Yeah, you want to go in alphabetical
order? Let's start at Arctica. Now, from memory, Arctica was a pretty standard round bottle.
Yeah, it's a pretty standard bottle. It's got the printed glass fucking label.
Printed glass of some kind of muffed up icicle shit happening.
Yeah, it's got the snowflakes on it. This was a quiet achiever. Because neither of us expected anything good from it.
No, we didn't. And even though the price tag.
Yeah, and even though it's got the strong upfront punch in the mouth.
From Edgemill, for that matter, too. I think the only downfall it had was the ABV.
It's a 37%.
Yeah.
Which I dare say you get no matter where you fucking went, just simply because tax. I figured that out. That's what it is tax.
Fucking tax, man.
Yeah, you pay by the mill in Australia for fucking alcohol.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty fucked.
Tell me about it.
As he screws his nose up or whatever the fuck you're
shit,
drinking.
Fuck.
What? Is that fucking pure?
That's straight fucking vodka. Oh. God, get out. Fuck. Oh. That's fucking... I do this every fucking shit out. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me. Okay. Oh, it's a shit out. I'll pour that. No.
Oh, here's to the rest of the fucking show, bro.
God damn.
Cheers.
Here's to the edit.
Fuck the edit.
Oh. Because I thought I was almost done, so I went for the skull.
Oh, it's because you're fucking... Your little... What is it? What are you mixing it with?
Tonight I'm mixing it with lemon lime bitters mineral water.
See, the look of it is, if not for the very, very, very faint
pink
tinge, you'd think that'd be just straight lemonade.
Oh, that's wrong. That with the Bacardis at lunch, just...
Poor Dan. Anyway, let's get straight to it. Right, Arctica's first up.
Let's not fuck around with this shit. So the bottle. Remember the bottle.
The bottle.
What do you give the bottle? Go on. Quick game's a good game.
I'm going to give it a 3.
You're going to give it a 3? I actually did quite like it. I'm going to give that fucker a 4. ABV at 37%. It is the weakest we've got.
It's getting a 2.
All right. You give it a 2. I'm giving it nothing. I was fucking pretty pissed off about that.
On the nose. Poor.
Hang on, I'm going to move the smoke out of the road.
It's not all that bad.
It's not too bad.
I'm going to give that one a 3.
You're going to give that one a 3? Yep. Oh, I'm going to give that one a 3 too. Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
On the mouth.
Right. Okay, so.
This is where it gets fucking technical.
You got to keep your mind on everything.
I got to go in, hit it, and then leave. Pretty much.
Okay.
That's the analogy I'm going with. All right. I couldn't think of anything else.
Okay.
All right. Cheers. It's a very bold taste.
With a bit of a throat punch to it.
I remember why I got the rating it did. I'm going to give the mouth a 4.
You're going to give the mouth a 4. Back end?
Back end.
How's it feel hitting your tonsils?
It felt all right. I'm going to give that a 4 too.
Did he give it a 4?
Lingers like a motherfucker, though.
That it does.
I'm going to give it a 3.
I'm going to give that one a 3. Yeah, so I'm going to give the mouthfeel, I'm going to give it a 5 because, you know, it's rather fucking smooth. The back end, I'm going to give it 2 because it hurts like a motherfucker and the lingering notes.
You sucky lala.
I'm going to give it a 3 because it's over fairly quickly, I think.
You do realise that's... Oh, wait, yeah, no, that's all good.
Yeah.
I got confused for a second there.
All right, anyway, so our old fucking nemesis, Finlandia. Let's get into this shit. So the bottle, I mean, I personally am pretty impressed with the bottle.
It's a sexy looking bottle.
It is a sexy
I was impressed of what for what they were going for, they pulled it off. It's supposed to look like an icicle or a piece of ice.
And their marketing is rather fucking on par.
So I'm going to give that one a 4.
Yeah, I'll give that a 4 too.
The ABV is going to cop a 3.
You're going to give that ABV 3?
It got 37.5%.
Yeah, 37.5%.
It's gone up 0.5%.
In Australia, at least, I'm going to give that a 3. Not a 33. I'm going to give it a 3.
On the nose.
On the nose.
That's not all different from the fucking...
No, that's the thing. This is why you need to chill them, because when they're fucking, you know, nice and ice cold, you can really tell the difference. Well, you can tell the difference. The ones that are fucking... gonna hurt, you can figure out a lot quicker.
Ooh, this one.
Call it.
3.
Yeah, I gotta give it a fucking mid-range sort of fucking mark myself. Alright.
Considering I'm only breathing through one nostril.
Well, yeah. Alright, let's get down to the business end.
Oh my god.
Salute! Cheers.
Fuck that. Mouth gets a 2.
What do you give the mouthfeel?
2.
Yep. Full agree there. 2. It gets a 2 from me. Back end?
2.
No, I give it a 4 on the back end.
Really?
Yeah, I do. It's not till it sort of fucking... Actually, no. Yeah, continue. Linger notes. What are you giving it? How's that burn? How's it go down?
I'm going to give that a 4. It didn't burn at all.
Yeah, no, I fucking got to agree. Like, it fucking doesn't burn going down. It's just all at the front. All right.
Up Front Street.
The original. Toverich.
Oh, the OG.
The cheapest in our bunch this week by fucking $1.50.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Under $30 this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
So, the bottle, what do you give the bottle? The presentation, the fucking marketing behind it.
It's a pretty standard fucking Russian. Is it Russian?
It is actual Russian, and it fucking owns the Russian.
Like, it's got the Russian font, the Russian colors.
Tovarich means.
It's all fucking Russian.
Everything. Even the name means comrade in fucking Russian.
Comrade. I like where they've gone with it. Should I hold it up for a second, bro?
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Isn't that a sexy fucking bottle?
What the fuck is that dude doing on the bottle?
He's saluting or signaling left. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. All right. He's not on a bicycle. He's like, I'm going to put my right arm out.
Passing left.
Passing on the right.
So what do you give it, Brad?
I'm going to give that one a solid 4. I like it.
I'm going to give it a 5. It definitely wins as far as I'm concerned. ABV, it's 38%, so it's our strongest tonight.
Oh, well, that'll be the 4. 4,
yeah, give it a 4.
On the nose.
On the nose. Let's have a go at this. Oh, I'm giving that kind of 5.
Oh, shit. Really?
You can't smell it, man.
Yes, you can.
Well, you can slightly smell it, but, man, for a rye vodka, it's
exactly the same as the others. I'm giving it a 3.
Giving it a 3, okay. All right. Do the business.
Oh, down the hatch. Cheers.
See, that's why I like it. That's mellow. That's fucking mellow.
I'm not sure on the actual taste of it.
It's a rye vodka.
I know it's a rye vodka.
That's what you get.
I'm going to give that one a 3 on the mouth.
Oh, you really?
Yep.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Back end's going to be a 3.
Really?
Yep.
Give that a 5.
And it's going to be a 3 for the fucking Lingonites too.
Really?
Yep.
I'll give that a 5.
Fucking hell.
Like, really, I mean, it doesn't burn, you know what I mean? It is mellow as shit.
Yeah, but it's got an aftertaste that fucking lingers, and I'm not... Me, personally, I'm not too keen on the aftertaste.
All right, so let's...
But anyway.
Let's tally the scores. So coming in at third place is Arctica Vodka, the only Australian entry, and the weakest of the bunch comes in at a 36 out of a potential 60 fucking points.
Fucking Australians.
Coming in at Australia. Coming in at second place is Finlandia.
Finlandia?
Which was a bit of a shock because I honestly thought that Arctica would beat the Finlandia out.
You reckon?
Yeah, well, I honestly did. I'm not such a fan of Finlandia, it turns out. But apparently I'm more prone to Finlandia than fucking Arctica. So that means our winner of the fucking bottom shelf budget fucking vodka for this fucking round is going to be the Tovrich, coming in at a massive 43 points, which just demolishes the competition. So, there's our booze shootout for this fucking
Congratulations
week.
Congratulations to Tovrich, the top of the bottom shelf.
Yeah, top of the bottom shelf.
Cheers.
Cheers.
No.
So, let's move on to a bit of movie news. There's been some happenings in the fucking realm of movies this week.
There has been.
Yeah. So, Channing Tatum's getting himself a bit of fucking, bit of movie love.
See, there was talk of Channing Tatum as Gambit in the
original
upcoming
Wolverine. Originally, he was meant to play fucking he was the hot lead for fucking Gambit in the Wolverine movie.
Was he?
Yeah.
How did he get shafted?
I'm not quite sure. I can't remember the story exactly, but I think it's probably to his benefit that he didn't.
Something in the long lines of Magic Mike, or then can't be the fucking Notebook. Wait, was it the Notebook?
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that he didn't get it, and it's probably fucking for the best that he didn't.
Time to revamp this motherfucking character, and I reckon Channing's the fucking one to do it.
Look, man, he is fucking hot as shit right now, so anything he touches just seems to turn to fucking gold.
He's got the Midas touch.
Sweaty, muscly gold, but gold all the fucking
time. Ease up. Keep it in your pants.
No, well, like, it's not my pants we're going to worry about. It's
it's your missus.
It's the fucking white-ons that are fucking driving this fucking casting, I think. Like, by all accounts...
And doesn't he fucking generate the fucking white-on?
Oh, doesn't he? God, what?
Motherfucker, I am jealous.
No, well, I'm not, because I'm an acquired taste, so...
Oh, you're a single barrel.
Hey, I'm a single barrel.
You're a dirty single barrel.
But, I mean, they're going ahead full fucking steam. I thought it was worth fucking mentioning, you know, that the screenplay itself is actually being penned by Chris Claremont.
Yep.
Who's been writing for Marvel for fucking years and is one of the better fucking comic book writers out there.
Yep.
So, you know, fuck, why not, man? I'm excited about this, you know what I mean? Like, Gambit, like, before I could fucking actually go to a comic book store... You know, I think everybody of a certain age grew up with the X-Men series.
Oh, definitely.
And Gambit was by far one of my most favorite fucking characters.
Between Gambit and Wolverine.
Yeah, see, I never fucking really fell on the fucking Wolverine train.
Didn't you?
No, I didn't because...
I was a sucker for it.
Because he was like, I've got claws and I'm hard.
No, It's the whole fucking...
I could just imagine him skipping down the fucking... skipping around the park going, I got cloth. I got cloth.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. I was fucking weird like that, but yeah.
You're fucking still weird.
So, you know, fuck yeah, man. Why not? And like, if you look into his comic history a little bit, he's one of the most powerful fucking mutants.
Hmm.
Apparently charging playing cards equals a shitload of fucking, you know, stuff.
So wow. Apparently Josh Zetema is doing the screenplay for it. So it's based on the Chris Claremont story, but Josh is writing the screenplay officially.
Okay, Cool. Cool. So, you know, yay. Yay for Gambit.
Yay for Gambit.
And I'm officially, on board for the Crow remake.
Really?
Yeah, see,
Tell me about this, because I've got an issue with it, and it's more of fucking word. I'm stuck for words tonight, bro.
I've noticed.
I'm way too drunk for this shit.
Too drunk to taste this chicken. Shite. So, you know, it's been 25 years since...
I've had a moral issue with it. That's the word.
Yeah, a moral issue. Because it was
Brendan fucking Lee's last film, and being the son of a legend. And I was a fan of Brendan Lee in the first place, because he did play his father in Dragon.
No, he didn't. He was dead by that stage.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Jason Scott Lee.
Jason Scott Lee, who is no relation to anybody involved.
Lee. Shit.
Yeah, Brendan Lee fucking was dead long before. Like, he did fucking, not Big Trouble in Little China, Showdown in Little China, that's the one.
Yeah.
So he also did The Crow. So it's been 25 years since James O'Barr's The Crow graphic novel first fucking was released. So the movie itself is now celebrating its 20th anniversary as of this year. So as we know, this is the movie that fucking got Brendan Lee killed. Some dopey motherfucker accidentally loaded live rounds into...
Well, I don't think it was live rounds. It was a piece of shrapnel that killed him.
Some part of the fucking blank pierced him in the stomach and killed him dead.
Yeah, pretty much. Got to give him props, though, because he never went out of character. He never said, fucking stop, I'm actually fucking injured.
Yeah, he kept going with the scene, and it wasn't until the next day that he was like, oh, I think I'm fucked here, and went to hospital.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's been massive amounts of fucking sequels in the TV series with Mark Demacaros, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Everything's obsolete after that movie.
And you know, for the last... quite a few years now, there's been the whole remake thing bandied about. And the writer himself, you know, our old James O'Barr, has been dead against it. Like, after that first movie was made, he wanted nothing to fucking do with it. You know what I mean?
As you would.
Yeah. So, you know, the big change happened when the new director, F. Javier Gutierrez, come and seen him personally. You know, so he flew over from Spain and, you know, paid for his own flight and everything else like that. And this is what James O'Barr said. He got off the airplane, I took him to my car, and I was going to lecture him for an hour and put him back on the plane. And he gave him the whole fucking lecture and everything. Mm. You know, basically saying, you know, nobody wants this. Nobody wants to see the fucking remake. What the original is fucking sacred, you know. It's just the last film of this dude who was cut down in his prime and was on his way to fucking living up, if not surpassing, his father's fucking legacy.
Mm.
So after all of this, he, you know, the director, fucking Gutierrez, said, listen to every fucking word, and then he turned around and said, I don't want to remake the film. That film is perfect. Which, to be honest, it kind
of really
fucking,
is.
It is. It is a great film.
It's going to be one of those quiet lingerers that stand at test of time.
Well, it's a cult film. Like, it's not going fucking anywhere. It's like Clerks, man. Fucking love it or hate it. What that movie is perfect.
Yeah.
But what Gutierrez wants to do is the book. Page for page, frame for frame adaptation. This is what
Never
got me excited. See, the graphic novel, even though the movie sort of got the feel for it.
Yeah.
There was only about a quarter to a half, more to a third, that actually made it from page to screen.
Yep.
So this new movie is not going to be paying any sort of attention to the original movie. It's going to be paying homage to the source material, the fucking book itself. That's what gets me fucking excited. That's what gets me on board.
So I take it you've read the novel.
I have read the novel. It's a fucking fucked up little book, but it's a good...
Just quietly.
It's
fucked up.
It's a good fucking book, man. I am fucking on board for this fucking movie now. You know what I mean? Like, it's changed me. It's changed my fucking mind. You know what I mean? The whole fucking catch fucking phrase of this whole thing is, we're not remaking the movie, we're readapting the fucking book.
Fair enough. Sign me
up, fucking Scotty.
Take my motherfucking money now.
Yeah. So apparently they've hired Luke Evans to play the lead. And he actually flew...
Is that any relation to Chris Evans?
I don't think so, because Chris Evans is American. This guy is English.
Okay.
So he's actually flown to fucking, you know, wherever the fuck this Obaz cunt is, and he's got the fucking, you know, the blessing and everything else, and everybody else seems to be on board, and fuck me, the fact that they're not going to try and fucking do the movie again.
They're not rebooting the series.
Yeah, look, dude.
Well, it's a reboot, but it's not. No, it's paying homage to what the original was.
It's an adaptation of the book, not a remake of the movie. That's what fucking gets me, right? That's what fucking gives me the respect for this movie to fucking get excited when it comes into cinemas.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to give an update on that because fuck it, I care.
See, I think I had a Twitter issue with this. Did I not?
No.
I had an issue somewhere about The Crow being remade.
Because The Crow was being remade. It was part of your whole
It was something Den of Geek posted, and I went on a bit of a rant about how it's fucked and morally wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what I mean. This article that came out on Latino Review through Deadline just completely wiped away all fears and concerns and worries I have.
I'm still a little bit on the fence. Because I grew up with that movie. And to be honest, I never read the book. Because I'm not big on reading. Just to try it out there.
First thing I did when I got back to Toowoomba was find that fucking book down and fucking read it. But anyway, Halo Nightfall. There was a new trailer release this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm fucking all over that shit.
It's beautiful.
Isn't it fucking what? Oh, my God. Now, the thing I'm a little bit unsure about and the thing that gives me pause is the fact that it's a 5-episode digital feature. Okay. So, you've got the TV series that's coming out, which is apparently completely fucking different.
We've gone through this. Is there a TV series?
Well, apparently there's a TV series, but then it got changed, I think, into fucking Halo Nightfall, which is coming out in the Master Chief Collection.
Because Ridley Scott was doing the miniseries.
Yeah, and he's doing the Nightfall series. It's produced by fucking Ridley Scott.
Are we not talking about the same thing then?
Well, see, I think we are.
The supposed TV series.
Yeah, I think this is what happened.
No, it wasn't a TV series. It was originally a web series.
No, it was originally a TV series, no, and I think it was going
to. No, because I remember we discussed it, and it was originally going to be something similar to Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, the web series. It was never going to be on TV.
Yeah, there was this weird thing there that where they were like, you know, we're crossing the border into fucking multimedia like we did with Ford Unto Dawn, but completely different.
Mm.
And now it sounds like they've just done Ford Unto Dawn again.
With a different character.
The difference is it sounds fucking awesome and it looks
not saying that Ford Unto Dawn was
awesome.
Well,
Ford Unto Dawn was fucking amazing too, you know.
It was fucking wicked in its own right.
Yeah. But the fact that they promised us this full-length fucking TV series and they just sort of fucking seem to have reneged on the fucking deal is what drives me a little bit batty. But this looks amazing.
Doesn't it?
Oh, the trailer that came out. You know, so this TV, well, this digital event, I think they're calling it now. You know, with the character of Jemison Locke, who's going to turn up in the next fucking Halo movie, Halo game, sorry. And it stars Christina Chong, Stephen Waddington, Luke Neal, Alexander Bart, and a whole bunch of other people who I've never fucking heard of. It's looking beautiful, man. And the fact that it takes place, like I said, I think we've brought this up, the fact that it takes place on a ruined Halo and the fact that there's 7 Halos in the, you know, the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, leads me to believe that we're going back to the original Halo that got blown to shit. Oh.
And it looks like it has too.
And it looks beautiful. I cannot wait for this series to come out. I really can't.
Now, have we got a date for it?
Not yet. All we know is it's coming out this month.
This month?
This month. It's coming out November 2014.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Keep your ears and eyes open, peoples.
Keep your ears and eye open, indeed. And Destiny's had an expansion being released.
No, almost. It's getting released on the 12th. Oh, sorry, the 10th of the 12th. In about a month and 8 days as of this podcast, Australian. So this one's going to see. So Destiny is what? 2 months? Not quite 2 months old?
Yeah, about 2 months.
It's This there's two expansions so far that we know of. This one's going to bring new weapons, new armor, a few new story missions, three new multiplayer maps for the Crucible. It's going to bring a new six-player raid, new cooperative strike in which it's in the Jovian complex in the Cosmodrome. It's about this thing called Omnigal. I think you pronounce
Omnigal.
Omnigal. Look, I'm just going to read you the fucking description. Here she works to expand the Hive army in preparation for the return of her master, Crota, and the Hive's invasion of Earth. Only you and a fire team of brave guardians can eliminate this threat, moving closer to saving our world and growing legends. Crota is the... Oh, fuck. You haven't even played it at all, have you?
No.
Well, the Sword of Crota is one of the missions that this motherfucker brings a fucking... you got to pick up a sword and get into this certain spot on the moon where the Hive fucking... the Hellmouth is. And you fuck some shit up. So, yeah. That's it. Okay. I'm getting a blank fucking look from Dan. God damn it. Hurry up and buy the fucking game, hey.
I don't think I want to buy the game, hey. Why? I really don't. I don't know, man.
It's a fantastic game. It's long. It's fucking... like, I'm level 22. And it's just repetitive. Some points it's repetitive because you've got to do this Crucible so many times and you've got to do something such and such so many times and you've got to do strike missions so many times. And it just gets monotonous, but it's a fucking great game. You need to get on board. Hurry the fuck up.
Right, if you say
but anyway, so. They've brought up the maximum level from 30 to, lo and behold, 32. So, yeah, that all comes with the expansion on the 10th of the 12th this year. 11th of the 12th Australian.
Well, go out. Because
we're a day ahead.
Buy the game and get the expansion, I suppose.
Well, hurry the fuck up.
So, I'm going to get my book nerd on.
Get your book nerd
on? Oh, I've been liking this book nerd shit the last couple of weeks. It's time for a book nerd book review. Boogity book, 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 book.
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 So, the last week or so, once again, the last week seems to be the phrase of the day. Lucian Barnes released his sixth.
I think all those shots went straight to your head.
Straight to my fucking head and then
I went straight to my head too.
6 books Lucian Barnes has released. The last book he's released, EL204. Is the book I've read this week, and I tell you what, I didn't mind today.
Nice.
Yeah, all that build up, you think it would have been gushed or fucking hating on it, but I didn't mind it. Okay, so this is my thing with Lucian Barnes, right? Not so much Lucian Barnes in general, but just in writing in general, there's two ways you can write, essentially.
Over-descriptive and under-descriptive?
Yeah, basically, like...
Did you hear the slur in that descriptive?
So there's two ways you can write, yeah? Imagine you're a reader in a box and then you paint the world around them.
Mm.
Or you can just accept the fact that your reader isn't stupid and can fucking just hint at shit.
So basically you're writing to cater for 6-year-olds and 60-year-olds.
Basically kind of, yeah. Now, Lucian Barnes is one of the writers who falls in the first category. He... writes as if you're in a box. You've never seen anything. You've never done anything. And look, man, to be honest, it can get a bit fucking laborious at times because you've got to deal with a lot of fucking chaff that doesn't need to be there.
Yep.
But in saying that, this dude...
we have a motherfucking imagination.
...has got a fucked up mind, and I love it. Like, I do, man. He reminds me, he's very reminiscent of, these sort of authors who just got these fucked up little fucking dirty little minds. Yeah?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
And it's his first sort of romance novel, although you couldn't really call it a romance novel. Like, apparently he was saying when he was talking about this book itself that, his fans had been hitting him up to write a romance novel. And... this was his attempt at it. And as far as, you know, puppy dogs and roses and chocolates, it's not that good. But as far as far as, you know, love in a fucked up world view,
yeah,
it's perfect. So, cool. You know, this writer who's from rural Ohio, who's written 6 books in, what, 4 years?
I don't know. You're telling the story.
2 years. He released his first book in early 2012. He's written 6 books in 2 years. So good on him for that. And
that's a very ambitious effort.
Well, it is. I mean, his books, even though they can be a bit fucking heavy with the freaking descriptive, they're good books. You know what I mean? I do fucking enjoy reading his writing. It's just sometimes I skip ahead because he will go into depth that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
So to give you the blurb on the back of his books, he goes, "For Jason Lambert, a prominent MIT geneticist, fear of natural death has become a thing of distant memories. His latest concoction has, in a sense, increased his longevity and made him nearly immortal. Over the past 100 years, the technological advances of medical sciences have rendered the deadliest diseases of the 20th century insignificant. Cancer, heart disease, and AIDS are no longer a death sentence. Serums have been developed to eradicate the problematic cells and their growth. When he meets a beautiful woman, his world is turned upside down. Add to this the government's sudden interest in his research, and things begin to spin out of control. We all know what happens when the military gets involved. Greed takes over, and ethics are pushed to their boundaries. Will Jason be able to juggle his responsibilities without compromising his integrity? Or will his experiments lead to the evolution of a new breed of monster?" Like, this is the thing. This dude has got the right idea. He really does. His books raise a lot of fucking questions, morally and ethically. It's just, I can't. Sometimes I have a real hard time getting past the descriptive fucking paragraphs. I really do. But if you can get past that, this is a really good fucking book. You know what I mean? Like, it's set in the future by quite a few fucking years.
Mm.
And that is about the one thing he does leave to the imagination. Like, he does state the year at one stage, but it's about halfway through the book. You know what I mean? The first hint you get that it's not in our time is the fact that he catches a hover taxi.
Generally, they make it within the first chapter.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, no. It depends, like I said, on what school of writing you come from. Yep. And you continue on with this story, and, like, it's not an especially big fucking story. I think I knocked it over in about a day, day and a half. But I was hooked.
Nice.
You know, I was hooked. It's a fucking really good story. You know, it looks at the fucking problems with, you know, genetics and fucking, well, eugenics, I suppose you'd want to call it. And, you know, it's basically a postmodern Frankenstein story.
Yeah, cool.
You know what I mean? Like, not so much, I'm going to create life and I'm going to build man again. It's one of these whole, I've accidentally found a way to immortality and you know, regeneration and shit, and the moral implications that can come from that. You know what I mean? There's one thing I do like about this guy is he's deep. He is fucking deep. So, look, I give his 6th book a solid A-.
Nice.
The descriptive shit gets to me. That's the only reason it doesn't get a solid fucking A or A-plus out of me. Like, the themes involved are great.
Yep.
The writing itself flows when he lets it flow. It's just, sometimes it just fucking bugs me just a little bit. Just a little bit.
You don't like to live in the box?
Well, I don't live in a box. That's the fucking problem. You know what I mean? Like, if I was a prisoner, he'd had a life sentence.
This from the age of 6? Yes.
This would be a great fucking story. So I would give this story overall an A fucking minus.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought so. So today, I finally got what cunts were on about when they said Twitter ruined stuff.
Yeah.
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 Okay. So I.
So does Facebook.
I didn't wake up at fucking 3 in the morning to watch fucking Doctor Who.
As you wouldn't, because that's a bit of a mish.
Well, no, like, I'm all down for it, but no, fuck you, yeah. I like my sleep. And when I woke up and I jumped on the fucking Twitter to fucking, you know, feed the Twitterverse, The whole fucking big thing. Like, so the whole thing this season, there's been a character introduced and you don't know who she is. Every time somebody dies, she turns up.
Yeah.
And she's got this relationship with a doctor and we don't know what it is. And I'm not going to ruin what that relationship is to, you know, the two people who haven't watched fucking Doctor Who by the time this episode's released, but I got it ruined to me within about a minute and a half.
Really?
Now, normally I'm not one to get upset about spoilers because I'm more about the journey rather than the destination. But this fucking annoyed me.
As it would.
Well, man, look, I've spent the last fucking 2.5 months, you know, really holding discipline to not look at theories or fucking, you know, production notes or interviews or anything like that.
What, only, just for this show in particular?
Just for this one show. Just for this one show because, you know, I've got mixed feelings about this season, but, you know, the only reason I jumped online, to be honest, is to see whether they're going to keep Peter Capaldi. Who, me personally, I've loved his fucking Doctor. Like, there's been a couple of week episodes.
He's only been on for, like, what, 6 episodes?
He's been on for 10 episodes. There's 12 episodes to season plus Christmas special, so that, I suppose, is 13 episodes.
Okay.
But there was rumours and talk for a while that it would only last for one season.
So why would you do that?
Because they've got a whole 13 fucking actor run now that they can play with.
Okay.
Because he's only got 13 lives, but then he got, you know, fucking, he basically got reset. So now he's got another 13 fucking lives. And I've stayed away from all the rumors, all the talk, all the bullshit. And fucking, to have it ruined for me like that when I'm half awake. Oh my God, I think my beard grew about 4 inches and turned blonde.
Oh, no.
I went Super Saiyan, hardcore drunk. Like I did. Oh, it was fucked.
Fucking LA. Yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of this sort of shit, eh? Like, the social media has ruined so much shit for me. It's not funny.
Yeah, well, see, normally, like I said, I don't care. Fuck it. Who gives a fuck? I know where it's going. It's how it gets it. This is the one show. The but one that's show. That's the
thing. Social media ruins how it fucking gets it.
This is the one show that I watch with childlike fucking glee. Once a week, halfway through the week, so I can watch it with me fucking kids.
Fucking Whovian.
And I know now what the fucking big fucking thing is. And I'm like, you motherfuckers. And it wasn't just one person. It was everybody. The internet exploded.
Have you noticed that they're doing it with Star Wars Rebels too?
Yeah, but I don't, like, look at Star Wars Rebels news.
It's not hard. It's fucking hard to when it's all over your Twitter feed.
But I don't care because I just skip over it. You know what I mean?
Well, why didn't you skip over this one?
Because I was seeing if Capaldi was going to fucking hang on. You know what I mean? Like, because there was serious talk. Because he hasn't. This season is probably the worst fucking performing season of the new fucking series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The last 8 years, 9 years or something like that. It's been going great guns. And nobody likes this doctor, apparently. Me, personally, I love it. You know what I mean? I love the whole cranky fucking, you know, different fucking take on it.
So he doesn't appeal to the young ones.
No, he doesn't.
That's the problem.
And this is what I said fucking month and a half ago. This is going to sort out the cunts who are there for the fucking eye candy and the cunts who are there because...
they're Whovians.
It's fucking Doctor fucking Who.
Yeah.
So, you know... I was interested to see whether the Whovians won or whether the douchebags won.
The douchebags won, didn't they?
Well, I don't know because the minute I seen the spoiler, I'm like, you know what? Fuck internet.
You did your nah.
Nah.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. I'm going out for a fucking smoke.
Oh, God damn it.
Fuck it. But you know what?
What?
I'm too drunk to taste this chicken.
So am I.
We're done.
Holy fuck.
It's been a big fucking night.
Hasn't it? 5 shots down, 2 drinks later. I'm not driving home.
Five shots, sorry.
Yeah, five shots.
Five shots, half bottle of fucking Square One. That many fucking repeats, I'm sick of saying, g'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman podcast, because if I've got to say that any time the next fucking 2 weeks, I'm going to lose my mind to somebody.
Well, you're
going to
lose your mind next week then. Sorry.
Where can they find us, Bray?
They can find us at www.thedrunkenbeersman.com, where you will find all their written reviews and audio chucked in, all the extras as well. If you would kindly head up to the right, top right-hand corner, you can head over to our Facebook and like us there, follow us on Twitter, rate and review us on Stitcher and Stitcher Radio and iTunes. And if you have any booze reviews or any questions on the show, you can email us at mailbag@thedrunkenbeersman.com. If that wasn't messy enough, fuck it.
And what's your personal Twitter account?
My personal Twitter account is _JD. Unofficial _JD. You can edit that out.
And you can find me, of course, at TheDrunkleDan, because some douchebag took Drunkle fucking Dan. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting close to the end of the year. We're getting close to the break.
Fuck, I think we've only got, like, what, all of 4 episodes left?
4 episodes left for this year. Season 1 is almost done. Until then, at the same bearded channel, at the same drunk time.
Stay bearded and beautiful, people.
Sancha!
Cheers!
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of R vs. R Media. Theme song is Touch Me in the Beard and is provided with much gratitude by The Beards. Find more of their stuff at www.thebeards.com.au. Remember to go ahead and check out the website at www.thedrunkenbeersman.com, where you'll find all our booze reviews, rants, and previous episodes of the podcast.
Tingles up and down your spine. Tears well up, emotions flow. Don't be scared, just let it all go. This is the moment dreams come true. So do I want to do.